Building dams has been a popular way to collect and divert water for industrial and agricultural use and hydroelectric power since the early 20th century. According to one estimate, there are 45,000 large dams in the world today, and up to 800,000 smaller dams. Dams have often been seen as magic bullets for regional development, as in the cases of the Hoover Dam, the Aswan Dam on the Nile, and the recent controversial Three Gorges Dam in China. The attractiveness of dams is easy to understand. In one fell swoop, major dams seem to offer multiple vital services: hydroelectricity, irrigation water, storage water for protection against droughts, and downstream flood control. By now, for good or ill, most of the world's major river systems have already been dammed. There is simply no way, even if desirable, to achieve massive increase in abstraction through new dams or similar engineering projects. As the United Nations Development Program recently reported, an estimated 1.4 billion people now live in river basin areas that are closed, in that water use exceeds the minimum recharge levels, or near closure. Such basins cover more than 15% of the world's land surface. Among the more prominent examples, in North China, an estimated quarter of the flow of the Yellow River is needed to maintain the environment. Human withdrawal currently leaves less than 10%. During the 1990s, the river ran dry at its lower reaches every year, and for a record 226 days in 1997, when it was dry for 600 kilometers inland. In Australia's Murray-Darling Basin, irrigated agriculture uses almost 80% of available water flows. With estimated environmental requirements of about 30%, the result is extensive environmental destruction, including salinity, nutrient pollution, and the loss of floodplains and wetlands. The Orange River in southern Africa is the site of growing environmental stress. The upstream reaches of the basin have been so modified and regulated that the combined reservoir storage in the basin exceeds annual flows. Moreover, the complex ecological costs of dams are also only now coming into clearer view. The vast proliferation of dams in the 20th century has fragmented rivers, destroyed wetlands, taken up huge swaths of land, reduced the fertility of floodplains by trapping silt, and led to tremendous water loss through evaporation from reservoirs. Dams and other diversions of river flows have also been responsible for two disturbing and disruptive phenomena: the disappearance of lakes and inland seas, and the interruption of rivers such that they no longer reach the sea. The famous Rio Grande River in the southern United States and northern Mexico has been dammed and its waters diverted so extensively that for several months a year, it no longer flows into the Gulf of Mexico. The Yellow River, as mentioned earlier, is being dried up as a result of irrigation and urban use, and this is contributing to the birth of a new dust bowl in what was once China's great agricultural heartland. Similarly, great infrastructure follies have created major catastrophes for inland seas. The Aral Sea in the former Soviet Union was drained entirely to create a giant, water-guzzling, cotton-producing region that straddles several Central Asian republics. The Hadija Nguru wetlands on Lake Chad in Nigeria have been drying out at a rapid rate. The wetlands used to support close to 1 million people who lived from its plentiful fish stocks and off the fertile land created by its floods. After an ill-fated irrigation and dam-building scheme, the wetlands are dry, and hundreds of thousands of livelihoods have been lost. Another recurring problem with projects that tamper with river flows, beyond the direct environmental consequences, is that they tend to create zero-sum situations. Downstream areas are often heavily and negatively affected by the upstream projects. Building a dam or diverting a river upstream deprives those downstream of various ecosystem services. Those situations are serious enough when the river flows only within one country, but open confrontation can result when the river flows through several countries. Around the world, water is emerging as a potential source of interstate conflict. For dozens of countries, much or all of the nation's water supply originates in other countries. Bangladesh, for example, depends on India for 91% of its water flows. The occupied Palestinian territory, where per capita access to water is one of the lowest in the world, is the site of tremendous water inequality. The Israeli population, which is not quite twice the size of the Palestinian population, uses 7.5 times more water than the Palestinians, with Israelis in control of the rivers and groundwater aquifers. In addition to groundwater depletion and the excessive use of river flows, is the third problem of pervasive water pollution.